The universe is unbelievably enormous, so much so that we can't even see all of it as much as we'd like to. And indeed, we don't even know how big it is beyond what we can see. But the universe, for all its hard rules and absolute physical laws, does allow for some hacks that sometimes let us see things that we normally would not. Few universal hacks are as mind-blowing as the idea of gravitational lensing, where while you might not be able to physically build a telescope to observe extraordinarily distant objects within the observable universe, nature, through gravitational lensing, can sometimes build one for you, on a scale probably even beyond that of the most advanced civilizations in the universe. So here are 10 mind-blowing gravitational lensing events in space, and indeed, this is a topic we're going to hear much more about in the future, as nature itself, in certain circumstances, provides the most powerful telescope possible. Number 10, the first detected planet in Andromeda. The Andromeda galaxy is currently just over 2.5 million light years from us, and it's getting closer. In the far future, the Milky Way will collide with and merge with Andromeda, but that won't start for another 4.5 billion years. Even at such astounding distances, Andromeda is among the closest galaxies that allow for us to study individual stars within it. But planets are a different story at that distance. Only very special conditions, such as gravitational lensing, can allow for situational discoveries of exoplanets. And it's already happened, at least tentatively. The first candidate of an exoplanet within the Andromeda galaxy is known as PA-99-N2, and through gravitational lensing, shows that the system is that of a star with a smaller companion. This companion would have to be an exoplanet, but an enormous one at about 6.34 times the mass of Jupiter. This is significantly smaller than brown dwarf territory, however, which would need to be about 75 times the mass of Jupiter. So this planet would be a kind of super gas giant. So it seems within our grasp to detect more gas giants, at least within Andromeda, with this method. But while we may not be able to detect Earth-like terrestrial exoplanets, there may come a time when we will. When the two galaxies collide in the far future, all of a sudden the exoplanets, billions of them, from another galaxy entirely will become available to us. Hear my science fiction author imagination fires. Think the Collision Wars, where the species of the two galaxies and perhaps some form of far future humans confront to determine who controls the merged galaxies. Or it could go the other way, and the species of the two galaxies greet each other and plan for the future of the resulting Milkdromeda galaxy, and the eventual end of the universe as we know it. Number 9, PKS 1413+135. One of the many strange phenomena that the universe displays is the BL-LAC-type object, a subtype of blazar. This is an active galactic nucleus with relativistic jets that display really large variations in brightness, setting them apart from other active galactic nuclei, such as quasars. One idea about these objects is that they represent relatively low-power elliptical radio galaxies. We just see their jets pointed right at us. The weird thing about these types of galaxies is that they show apparent superluminal motion, or material seemingly traveling faster than light, when it really isn't, and it's just an effect of material traveling at very near the speed of light seen from our vantage point. But there is a type of gravitational lens that might help in the study of such objects, at least at radio frequencies caused by the amplification of light coming from clumps of plasma moving relativistically along the jets, blasting away from the active galactic nucleus's central supermassive black hole. Researchers found this apparent effect with an object known as PKS 1413+135, where the object has dramatically brightened on short time periods several times in the last 20 years. Something with an enormous mass, 10,000 times that of the Sun, is acting as an occasional gravitational lens, causing the amplification of the light from the plasma at the black hole. There are candidates for what this could be, but the most likely seems to be another foreground black hole causing the lensing, perhaps even a primordial one from the early days of the universe floating in the intergalactic medium. Number 8, the quasar and the rogue planet cluster. Sometimes objects in the universe are not just strange for a single reason, but many. The quasar RXJ1131-1231 is one such example. Here we have a really bizarre quasar where it's being powered by a supermassive black hole, but a weird one. This black hole, located about 6 billion light years away, is emitting X-rays from its accretion disk in a way that indicates that this black hole must be rotating at half the speed of light and must be being fed astonishingly titanic amounts of dust and gas. But even the ability to study and know that required gravitational lensing due to an elliptical galaxy and its gravity in the foreground. In fact, observationally, this quasar appears as four images due to the effect. But that's not all that this incidence of gravitational lensing has offered. What appears to have been a very large population of unbound rogue planets were observed as a result of the effect. Apparently, a high number of objects ranging in size from that of the Moon to that of Jupiter, not bound to any star, appeared to be present in this relatively distant quasar 6 billion years ago. An entire cloud of rogue planets, as it were. Number 7, the twin quasar-related planet. In 1996, while we still weren't sure exoplanets outside the solar system even existed, though by that time everyone suspected they did and there were candidates, a very strange event was seen that led to the first ever candidate for an extragalactic exoplanet, even during the very earliest attempts at observation of any exoplanets. The problem is we can't ever confirm it, as it was a transient one-off event. The story goes that a quasar was being observed, and a microlensing event just happened to occur that produced a twin image of a quasar by way of a lensing galaxy. But variation in the observation showed that something else caused some additional lensing. The best hypothesis is that a one-time chance alignment happened where a roughly 3-Earth-mass planet happened to move in the field of view, and alter the normal profile of the lensing by the foreground galaxy. Now, can't ever prove this one, but if it was an exoplanet, it was an amazing 4 billion light years away, and we saw it. And at 3 Earth masses, that's actually a really small planet to even be able to see, even if it were within our own galaxy. Yet, the magic of microlensing allowed us to glimpse, just once, this very distant world. Number 6, the Einstein rings. In 1912, Albert Einstein predicted that a gravitational body could bend light, essentially as a kind of lens. This was a foreshock to the publication of General Relativity in 1916 that suggested a phenomenon that could in principle be looked for and again in principle be tested by observation.
The effect was written about in 1924 by Orest Kvolson,
who predicted a ring effect between a source, the gravitational lens source, and the observer in a very specific way. That need for a near-perfect alignment made Einstein skeptical that we would ever see such an effect. Indeed, in 1936, he stated that there was no hope of ever observing this phenomenon directly. Here, Einstein was proven wrong. Behold, an Einstein ring. What you see here is a foreground object gravitationally distorting the image, as we see it, of a background galaxy. What should look something like this is distorted gravitationally to look like this. Where Einstein messed up was that he was thinking in terms of stars, and the chance observation of something being gravitationally lensed by a star is low, though you could do that artificially relatively straightforwardly with the right instrument placement. But Einstein wasn't thinking in terms of really huge or gravitationally powerful things like entire galaxies or black holes. There the chances of lensing events are much greater, and we have many examples of them, though the first complete observation of one didn't happen until the advent of the Hubble Space Telescope. But about a star forming an Einstein ring with another star, while we haven't actually seen that in nature as far as I can find, we actually might in 2028 if the alignment is absolutely perfect, which the chances of that being the case are about 45% from what we currently know. Alpha Centauri A, from our perspective, will pass in front of a distant red star, and we might see Einstein's predicted but highly unlikely event, just 116 years after the prediction. Perhaps they are not as rare as Einstein imagined. Number 5. A planet in the galaxy M51. The galaxy M51, also known as the Whirlpool Galaxy, from our perspective is one of the most amazing and majestic that we can see, even with relatively small telescopes. It's interesting in other respects, one of which is that it appears to be actively forming stars at a high rate, which may be due to a close encounter with another galaxy known as NGC 5195, and the interactions between the two are responsible for the burst of star formation, which has been going on for hundreds of millions of years. And it's a galaxy we've known about for a very long time. Whenever you hear a designation of M, such as M1 or M51 or M31 for Andromeda, that refers to a catalog of essentially fuzzy objects observed through the telescope by French astronomer Charles Messier in the latter half of the 18th century, M51 first being observed by him in 1773. Messier essentially scanned the skies very carefully with his telescope looking for anything that wasn't a star. basically looking for smudges in the sky. And his work was so good, his catalog is still used in astronomy today. But what Messier could not have known was that there were planets in the galaxies he was observing. Though I think had he known what we know now, he'd have been absolutely amazed. M51 presents the object M51-ULS-1b, which was discovered in 2020. This is an odd one. What's going on here is that there is a high-mass X-ray source, which is very likely either a black hole or neutron star, along with a big, probably Type B supergiant star in a binary system. Something seems to distantly orbit the X-ray source and eclipses it, and the best candidate here is a big planet, but smaller than Saturn, or perhaps comparable to it. That's pretty amazing, really, if you think about it. We may have a very special situational observation of a somewhat small Saturn-like gas giant in a galaxy over 23 million light-years away. Pretty cool. I think Messier would approve. Number 4. Einstein's Cross. This is the quasar Q2237+30, and it illustrates how situational gravitational lensing can be. It's juxtaposed behind the center of a galaxy known as Hooker's Lens. This is after scientist John Hooker and colleagues that found this object in 1985. They didn't see this image, however. What they discovered with their instrumentation was that there was redshift weirdness with this object. This was later found to be because the gravitational lensing effect was in just such a juxtaposition to project four separate images of the quasar. This particular example exhibits a redshift such that it must be about 8 billion light-years from Earth, while the lensing galaxy must be about 400 million light-years distant, since several other examples of this have been found and represent a very unusual and situational variation of gravitational lensing, on top of the general overall effect. Here I think it would be Einstein himself that might approve, or perhaps disapprove. Number 3. SN1987A. In 1987, I was already an amateur astronomer at about age 12. I'd just seen Saturn through a very small department store telescope my parents had bought me as part of a microscope and small telescope set. And just when I learned what a supernova was, there was one happening very brightly and visible to the naked eye that I couldn't see because I was in the northern hemisphere. Thus I missed the supernova SN1987A. But the scientists did not, and this was the first supernova in modern times that was relatively close that we could observe in depth. SN1987A happened in the Large Magellanic Cloud, which is a dwarf companion of the Milky Way, with the supernova being about 168,000 light-years from Earth. We had seen supernovas before. The previous one had been Kepler's supernova in 1604, described by Johannes Kepler himself, and now we know of the supernova remnant from it. But we hadn't ever seen a close one from our perspective in modern science with modern instruments until SN1987A, and only within the last few years has evidence of the resulting neutron star been found. But in regards to microlensing, something weird happened with this supernova that has never been resolved. When a supernova occurs, the first sign of it is a flux of neutrinos. You see that before the actual flash of light due to the nature of neutrinos and supernovae. In this case, there were four instruments studying neutrinos at the time. One specific instrument, the smallest and least capable one, detected a neutrino flux from the supernova 4 hours earlier than the others. This led to the suggestion that a star might have just perfectly passed by that altered and amplified the neutrino flux for that detector. And even that Earth itself can enhance neutrino intensity at different positions on its surface. Or maybe the supernova released multiple bursts of neutrinos and only one instrument was positioned right to detect the first burst. Until we see more close supernovas, this is likely to remain an obscure but open question regarding supernovae. Number 2. Icarus. In 2018, a star was discovered in the course of studying an extragalactic supernova with the Hubble Space Telescope that didn't seem quite right. A look at previous data showed that this point-like source had brightened significantly over the course of 3 years, and the only explanation is that there was a star in that distant galaxy that was being magnified by gravitational lensing by at least a factor of 2,000 times. But in this case, it had to be a twofold effect. In other words, lensing from a galaxy cluster coupled with microlensing from a smaller 3-solar mass object. There was also a second peak noted in the data that may suggest that Icarus, as it's known, which is thought to be a blue supergiant star, may have a companion in a binary star configuration. What it didn't look like was the usual objects that can be seen at such great distance, in this case about 14 billion light-years away. What it didn't look like was the usual objects that can be seen at such great distance, in this case about 14 billion light years away, with the apparent exceeding of the age of the universe due to its subsequent expansion. This compounded lensing effect may have been due to a black hole or massive star within the overall galaxy cluster. Studies of stars like this could yield clues about the earliest stars in the universe, this one having emitted its light as we saw it when the universe was only about 30% of its current age. Studies of this might also yield clues on whether primordial black holes created near the birth of the universe could account for a significant fraction of dark matter. Number 1. Arendelle. Earlier this year, Icarus was superseded as the most distant seen individual star by a very unusual lensed star known as Arendelle, after an Old English term for the morning star, but also a character from Tolkien's Silmarillion. This star is by far the farthest known star, coming in at 28 billion light years away. Again, this great distance exceeds the age of the universe because of the expansion of the universe since the Big Bang. In reality, however, the light we see left the star about 12.9 billion years ago. Discovered with the Hubble Space Telescope, this star was magnified by about 1,400 times by lensing, created by the galaxy cluster WHL-0137-08. This star is of great interest, because the light emitted from it, from our perspective, was just 900 million years after the Big Bang, offering an insight on the very earliest stars in the universe. One thing that can be said about this star is that it no longer exists. What's known is that it was extremely massive, about 50 to 100 solar masses, and would have quickly went supernova, but it hasn't done it yet from our vantage point. So think of it as a kind of time ghost, where we're looking so far back in time that we're seeing something that is no longer there, if you could magically cross the immense distance to it. In fact, there very well may be little evidence of this past star on location, and you have to be at our distance to ever even know it existed. Further study of this star is one of the proposed projects for the James Webb Space Telescope, because being an example of a very early star, it could yield information on whether it's a single star at all, and if there were elements other than hydrogen and helium in its spectra, giving clues to how early populations of stars in the universe began to supply the universe with heavier elements. And it's even possible that this star is so early that it contains almost no elements other than the primordial hydrogen and helium of the Big Bang. Or maybe there will be surprises. But one thing is clear, we're only at the beginning of the study of gravitationally lensed objects, but the study of such objects promises everything from more extragalactic exoplanets to insights on perhaps primordial black holes, dark matter, the earliest stars, and literally represents the universe giving us a telescope of sorts that can see backwards in time to the early universe. Expect much more from the study of gravitationally lensed objects. And eventually, the very largest human-made telescopes of the future may use the effect in relation to the Earth or the Sun to dramatically increase the power of our observations of the cosmos. Thanks indeed, nature. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently musing about how we give special names like Icarus and Arendelle to very far away stars, but typically only unwieldy catalog numbers for interesting close ones. They need to unleash me on naming astronomical objects. Picture it. The beautiful LeBaron Nebula, the McGrib Elliptical Galaxy, the Sriracha Supernova Remnant, and the Mustard Cluster. Won't get far, the IAU never lacks my ideas, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.